Please turn with me in your Bibles now to 1 Thessalonians. This morning we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. As we begin this morning, I'll read through verse 22, chapter 5. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 1257. Hear now the living word of God. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the Lord bless the reading and now the preaching of His Word. This letter of the Thessalonians is one of the earliest epistles that Paul wrote. And the Thessalonian church most likely did not have, the nice, detailed instructions that we have in Timothy and Titus regarding elders and what officers were to be like. This is one of Paul's earliest letters, and in these verses we have how the congregation and leadership are to respond to one another and interact together. Now this week we're looking at how the congregation is to view the leadership of the church, and then Lord willing next week we'll look at the other side of the coin, of what the leadership is supposed to be doing and how the leadership is supposed to view the congregation. These are instructions of how the church is to relate to one another, the congregation and the leadership. And as we consider these two verses, verses 12 and 13 this morning, the application that I want all of us to come away with is for you and I to know and to love those God has given as guides. To know and to love those God has given as guides. We'll be looking at these two verses in 3 points. First, looking at the fact that the elders, the office of elder, the leadership of the church is given to God, and why they're given to God, or given to the church by God. God has given elders to guide His church. And then the second point, a call to know those God has given as guides, and then lastly, love those God has given as guides. In these verses 12 to 13, we have, starting out, a threefold aspect of the work of the elder. We have Paul mentioning those who labor among you, those who are over you in the Lord, and then thirdly, those who admonish you. As we look at those three different aspects, first of all, labor. In the preceding verses, Paul has talked about how the day of the Lord will come suddenly, like labor pangs unto a woman expecting child. It's not the labor here that Paul is talking about, but it is a labor that is not the quick onset of labor pangs, but a long-sustained work. It's the work that is done over a long period of time, where there's toil, there's sweat, there's exertion upon the one who is laboring. One of the things that comes to mind would be tilling soil or working a garden, something that needs constant watching over and keeping, lest weeds or things like that come up unnoticed. There's also here mentioned admonishing. Now, when we hear that word, we tend to think of it in the negative sense. You know, admonishing someone. Someone has found an error. Somebody needs correction. Somebody maybe needs discipline. You know, as parents of children, we at times admonish our children when we find that they've done something wrong. But we shouldn't view admonishment in this negative light. It is something that is done to seek the well-being of the one who is being admonished, the one who is being corrected. In this day and age, it was something that was seen in a positive way. And even the Proverbs themselves talk about how what a blessing it is when not just leaders, but brothers and sisters in Christ will come alongside and correct us in love. This is not something that is viewed negatively, but is to be something that is viewed positively. As I prayed in our congregational prayer this morning and looking at that attribute of love that God has, God is love. And the world will say that over and over to us, like, don't judge me. You know, God is a God of love. He's just going to accept me. Now, God does call us as we are. His love is clearly displayed for us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. That is the most clear display of the love that God has for us. And that was while we were yet sinners. So there is a sense in which, yes, God calls us to himself as we are. We don't have to be perfect in order to first approach God and come to him. In fact, what we are called to do is to, in humility, confess to God that we are weak, we are incapable, and that we have sinned against him, and to seek his forgiveness. But the love of God, although it draws us to himself in that state where we need to be forgiven and we need to repent, the love of God throughout our life then does not leave us in that state. It is true, we are to come to God as we are, but God's love for us will not leave us as we are. It will change us. It will have an impact in our life. We will be molded into the image of Christ. Through the love of God, he will graciously and lovingly admonish us. He will correct us. And this is something that not only the leaders of the church are given to do, but this is something that you, brothers and sisters, are also given to do for one another. And it's something that you have already done even this morning. When we sing the psalms to each other, we are to teach and admonish one another in the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. See, admonishment isn't a negative. It may at times be painful, but it is a good and necessary thing. It is something that we, every one of us, will at some time or in some way need some form of admonishment. Because this side of glory, none of us are perfect. None of us have attained the full measure of holiness that God requires. And that is why we are brought together and put in this fellowship, to encourage one another on this pilgrimage to glory. And a part of that includes admonishment. It has been clearly given to the leaders of the church to do this. But it is also something that we all, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are called to do. Now, I focused on the labor aspect of what it is to be an elder, laboring among the believers. I've mentioned the admonishment aspect of the work of an elder. But in between there, Paul says in the ESV, and are over you in the Lord. In this middle section, I want to touch on here. This word over, it's used in ways of talking about those who are in leadership positions, those who are heads of states, those who are chiefs, those who are over. But it's also used in reference to those who are caring for someone. caring for something. And this is an important aspect of the word that Paul uses here. Jesus himself said that the leaders in his church are not there to lord it over the people, but we're here to be servants. We're here to care for. The leaders of the church are in no way to be any form of a dictator or authoritarian. We are those who are called to care for in humble submission to our Lord Jesus Christ and to you, his people. You who are bought and paid for through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Those who are over you in the Lord are to care for you. Another way we could put the various ways this word is translated, I think is a more fitting word, is the word guide. Someone who directs, someone who leads. If you consider this in light of what Jesus himself, being the great shepherd, has called his servants to be, under shepherds. That word shepherd there. I've said to a few of you of what one of my seminary professors used to drill into our heads in class, is that God has called us to be shepherds and not cowboys. If you consider the difference between a shepherd and a cowboy, what does a cowboy do? A cowboy pokes and prods and sometimes whips the cattle into shape. But a shepherd, he leads, he guides, often by his voice. We are called to be guides. And so this is why God has given elders to the church. Our God is a sovereign God. God is the great shepherd of his sheep and the flock of his pasture. But he is a God of means, and he has seen fit to give as a means to guide the church here on earth under shepherds. We are to guide, to direct you. And this is not something that is based upon status or any elevated position in society or even among the church. Paul clearly says they are over you in the Lord. They are guides in the Lord. They are to lead and to rule, to govern, to care for, to guide and direct in the Lord. The office is established by Christ. It is to be done under humble submission to him. So in this first point, we see why God has given the elders to the church. The elders of any church are here as guides, those to lead, to direct. Sometimes that's to admonish and correct, but should always be in laboring for the advancement of Christ's kingdom and the betterment of his people. All done under the Lord. God is the great shepherd, but he has given under-shepherds to guide his church on earth. Secondly, know those God has given as guides. In verse 12, as I read, it's, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. This word here that is translated as respect is most often and commonly translated as simply know. To know. It could mean to acknowledge. You know, considering the historic setting of the formation of this church, and looking back and thinking back of the earlier chapters of this letter, the concern that Paul had for the believers in the Thessalonian church about how they were forced to leave far earlier than they had hoped, that they were concerned for their well-being, their spiritual well-being, not knowing what had happened to them in the attacks that they were facing. One of the things that leaving early is they may not have been able to establish the leadership as they had hoped, to establish the leaders as they had hoped. And so as Paul is writing to them, he's calling them to acknowledge. Acknowledge these men that were set as elders over you. We may not have been able to establish them as we had hoped in training them. But yet, brothers and sisters, acknowledge them. Know them as your leaders. But knowing in Scripture is far beyond simple understanding of something. You know, this word that we have in the Greek here is the word in the Greek translation of the Old Testament that is used to translate the word know in phrases like Adam knew Eve, and she conceived Cain, or she conceived Abel. The idea of knowing something in Scripture isn't simply knowing or understanding the facts of something. It reveals to us and conveys to us an intimate relationship, an intimate friendship. And this is seen how Paul ends verse 13 with to be at peace among yourselves. Now we'll get at this, Lord willing, a little bit next week as we look at the other side of this coin. But what we can gather from looking at these verses together briefly is that there was some contention between the church and the leadership. You know, Paul mentioned earlier how there were those who weren't working and weren't laboring. There was also some immorality that was being dealt with in the church. Perhaps the elders were being too harsh and severe. And so this phrase at the end of verse 13 isn't just going with 12 and 13. It's also encompassing verses 14 and 15 as well. To be at peace among yourselves is a calling upon Christians to love one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and our unity is foundational to our testimony to the world. And what Paul is doing here by calling them to be at peace with one another, he is referencing that relationship that is to be there between not only brothers and sisters in Christ, but brothers and sisters in Christ and the leadership. It is not to be a distant relationship. It is to be something that is intimate. It is a close friendship. We are to be at peace with one another. It's something that I give thanks for in this congregation, that we are at peace with one another. For the Lord has given us peace. And that I, as your pastor, not only count you as those that God has called me to minister to and labor among, but as my predecessor has shared from time to time before you all, I share as well that you are all friends, and I count you as friends. This is what we are called to as brothers and sisters, and I know that that is the same sentiment not only with me, but with the other elders as well, and their feelings towards you. And we as a session are confident and know as well that you, in turn, love us. But as Paul says elsewhere, though we do good at this, though we excel at this, the call of us is to seek to excel all the more. To not be relaxed in this, but to seek ways that we may improve and be better. This is not something that we do on our own strength, but it is through the work and the grace of our Heavenly Father. So let us, brothers and sisters, know those whom God has given as guides. Let us grow in our love for one another, in our relationship to one another. And this leads us to the third point, love those God has given as guides. Paul writes in verse 13, "And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work, be at peace among yourselves." Now, esteem is pretty straightforward. The respect, hold in high esteem. But the language here of very highly doesn't translate really well into English. Paul, as he does elsewhere in his letters, is heaping up words. He wants an abundance of esteem given. But why? Why is he heaping up? Is it because of who these men are? Is it because of the positions they hold in their society? No, not at all. It is simply because of their labors. It's simply because of the work itself that they've been called to. We have the phrase of, you may not respect the person in a certain position, but we should respect the position. This is a work that God has called elders to. And one of the things in my own experiences, as I've seen good examples of this, is my home church in Shawnee, Kansas. And when I was growing up, the session was, and the elders were made up of men. One was a medical doctor. One was a firefighter. One was an airline mechanic. Another was a respiratory therapist. And another an accountant. And I mentioned these vocations that these men had outside of the church, because they're vastly different. In certain society, circles of society, these various vocations would be viewed very differently. And there would be a difference with how they would be treated in certain circles. But in the church, they're elders. Regardless of what position they hold outside of the church, within the church, they were Christ's under-shepherds, guiding and directing His church. Now, this esteem isn't to be just, you know, you should respect those above you. It's not to be like in your work positions or in your educational positions or in the political sphere where we have to respect and to esteem those that are over us. But Paul says it's to be done in love. In love. We all are to look to and to esteem those God has placed over us with love. Love is to be a mark of a true Christian. This is what Jesus was calling us to when he said, "The world will know that you are my disciples and that you love one another." This is what we are to be known by, chiefly. As the world from the outside looks at us, they are to look at us and say, those people love each other. From the top down, from the down up, they are loving to one another, and they show love. They love one another. This, again, is conveyed to us in that the simple phrase, to be at peace with one another. This love that we are to have together is to be the source of our peace among one another. The unity that we have together is built on the foundation of God's love toward us, but of our love toward one another as well. The peace that we have is an outworking of the love that we have. Why is unity so important? This was brought up in our Sunday school class this morning. Unity is foundational. It is vitally important. Not only to one another as we carry one another's burdens, but as we seek to minister to those who need to hear the gospel. What will people believe if we come to them? And they know us, and we're trying to share the gospel with them, but then they know that we have this anger and hatred towards somebody that we claim to be a brother or sister in Christ. We must be unified in our love for one another and be at peace. This is laid upon us all here as members of Christ's church. As Paul uses in the opening of verse 12, we ask you. We ask you, brothers. let us, brothers and sisters, seek to cultivate this love that we are called to. Again, I can rejoice wholeheartedly that I get to labor in a congregation that does love one another. I have no doubt about that. And we see that love for one another. But as we have this love for one another, again, let us grow in it. Let us seek the Lord's guidance and His strength to grow in this love. And as we have brothers and sisters, elders who are placed over us, let us know them. Let us not just say, yeah, that's one of my elders, but let's know them. Let's establish friendships with one another and deepen the friendships that we have. And let us esteem one another highly in love. Not because we're told to, not because we're commanded to, but as a sincere love for the men who serve. Brothers and sisters, let us know and to love those God has given to guide us. Amen. Our gracious Father, we do thank you for giving your church throughout the ages under shepherds. Lord, you are the great shepherd. As you have called men to labor, to lead, and to guide your church, we marvel about how you have used fallible and sinful men to lead your church throughout the ages. We know, Lord, that it is only by your Spirit and your work and your strength that your church perseveres. May you, Father, cause us to grow in our love for those that you have placed over us. May we know our elders, and may we, Father, esteem them highly in love, as you, Lord, have given them to us to lead and to guide. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.